this has been emphasized several times already. This is a very solemn day for us, Tisha B'Av, and I'm sure Rabbi Kapp has many things to say about it, and we'll let him continue. Rabbi Kaplan, please take the mic.
Thank you, Martin. Solemn is an interesting word to use. It actually is a sad day. However, it's a sad day that has positive undertones to it. I came across something fascinating recently. There's in the Avodah Zarah, and this is also brought down in the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, there is a play on the Hebrew letters that indicate the schedule of our holidays during the course of the year. And it goes like this. This is like, I guess what they would call the equivalent of Pig Latin. You know, it's kind of like it was a code that they used to use where they would exchange Hebrew letters. So the Aleph would be exchanged. Aleph is the first Hebrew letter, would get exchanged for the last Hebrew letter. And if the first letter is Aleph and the last letter is Tav, so we call that At. And then the second letter, which is Beis, would be exchanged for the second last letter. And in this way, people could write coded messages, and it would sound like gibberish, but if you knew what you were looking at, you would simply make the calculation. Each letter, you would see its corresponding letter. And that's how you went through the entire Aleph Beis, and this is one of the codes. And it actually is a code which has great Kabbalistic significance, and according to the master Kabbalists, it's a methodology of the changing of energy that Almighty God uses in order to bring our world into existence, as we know that everything is sustained by virtue of a spiritual force, and the chemistry of each letter is unique, but the chemistry of letters sometimes can be exchanged for other letters. So Aleph can be exchanged for Tav, and Beis can be exchanged for Shin, and Gimel can be exchanged for Kuf. And this is known as Atbash, the Atbash system. So in Avodah Zarah, and I said, as this is also cited in a number of halachic writings, it's found the Tur brings it down in Shulchan Aruch, in his codes, in chapter 428. But the origin is in the Avodah Zarah, and it says that Aleph, the first day of Pesach every year, is always going to be the same day of Tav, of Tisha B'Av. So At tells you that whatever day of the year you're going to have Pesach, you're going to have the same day of the week is going to be. Not day of the year, pardon me, but day of the week, that's going to be also Tisha B'Av. Today, of course, is Tuesday, and the first day of Pesach was on a Tuesday. Our Seder was on Monday night. And the same goes on for Bash. Bash is Beis, the second day. The second day of Pesach is always going to be the same day as the holiday of Shavuot. The second day of Pesach this year was on Wednesday, and Shavuot this year was celebrated on Wednesday and Thursday. And in this way, Pesach, or Passover, becomes the origin for everything that happens during the course of the year. And our year begins with Pesach in a certain sense, because the Jewish people leave Mitzrayim and they're born as a nation. And it's also the first month. We know it's called Chodesh HaRishon, the first month. Later on, renamed the month of Nisan, when we come back from Bavel and return to the land of Israel, we use the Sumerian or Akkadian names of the months to indicate the miracle of our revival and our return. That's a subject for another day. But the point then is this. The idea is that Pesach, or Passover, is the shorash. It's the root source for all of the festivals in the language that we use in the Torah itself. It's called Rosh Liragalim. It's called the head, or the leader, of all holidays. And this is a very graphic example of how that works. Now, if we think about that, the Rebbe said, if the first day of Pesach corresponds to Tisha B'Av, then there must be something in common with the first day of Pesach and the concept of Tisha B'Av. On the surface, that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. This is the saddest day of the Jewish calendar. This is the day in which we commemorate and are mindful of our exile. And Pesach, especially the first day, is the day that we leave Mitzrayim. That is the first Geula. That's what we call Iker HaGeula. The subsequent days of Passover are subsequent days, as we say in the Torah and Parshas Bo in Exodus 12, the Etzem Hayom Hazeh Yotzu. It was right in the middle of this day that our ancestors left the land of Mitzrayim. And how could that be compared to Tisha B'Av, which is the exact opposite? It's the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. It's the day we commemorate our expulsion from the land of Israel. It's the day we commemorate not the birth of our nation, but a tremendous amount of harm that was done to our nation. We were almost comatose, and it's a miracle that we were able to revive and resuscitate and survive. So how do you have this kind of link? Especially because the idea of the geula, the redemption from Mitzrayim, Pesach, is also something that presages the geula through Mashiach, as the Navi, the prophet Micha, says, "Ki meitzeischa me'eretz Mitzrayim arenu neflois." Just like in the days you left Egypt, when Mashiach will come, I'm going to show miracles. So this is the question that the Rebbe once asked, and he provided us with a very interesting answer, like an insight into both the question, but really the nature and persona of Tisha B'Av itself. He said that we are taught that Tisha B'Av is the day of destruction, but on that very first Tisha B'Av, when the first Beit HaMikdash was torched and set aflame, on that very same day, the Medrash Eicha tells us that a child was born. The child's name was Menachem, and that child had the potential to be Mashiach. And there's a lot to talk about, because if he was just a child and he was a few hours old, how can a child a few hours old bring Mashiach? We actually talked about this, Martin. I gave a class, I think, last year or 2 years ago on Tisha B'Av, and it is available on my YouTube channel. I encourage people, if they're curious about how a child could be Mashiach, go and watch that class. But let's leave that aside for now, how a child could be Mashiach. Let's just point this out. This is the birth date of Mashiach. In other words, it's called a Moed, it's called a festival. And the Kabbalists tell us not only is it called a festival because it's an appointed time, and not only do we not recite the penitential prayers today because there's a concern and a worry about accelerating the concept of negativity and judgment, but also because there is an element of festivity to Tisha B'Av, a latent element. It's in the far reaches, in the dark edges, but it's still there, and it is its potential. And we have to know that this is not only a day which, as you called it, solemn, I would call it sad, but it is not only a day that's solemn or sad, it is a day that is rife with incredible potential. And if only we will rise up and shake off the dust, as we say in the Lecha Dodi, Yisnari mi'afra kumi. So, if we will finally just shake off that dust, Martin, and finally will take the mantle of world leadership that Hashem has given us. We were tasked with being world leaders, not in economics and not in politics and not in military wherewithal or ability. Although we may have done amazing things in Israel over the last decades, we are tasked with being the leaders of the world in morality. We should study Torah. We should teach Torah. We should live by Torah and inspire others to live by its message. And that's what I mean when I say to shake off the dust. And the more we will become meritorious by virtue of immersing ourselves in the heritage, the legacy, and the special mission and purpose that Hashem has given us, the closer we will come to seeing the real Tisha B'Av unmasked. And the real Tisha B'Av unmasked is not a day of sadness, but ultimately a day of tremendous joy and happiness. This is going to be symbolic of the joy of the coming of Mashiach, and I really hope and pray that hope happens today. It's also interesting to note that with regard to Tisha B'Av, it says, we hear about the night of Tisha B'Av, because the first time Tisha B'Av was a sad day was the day our ancestors refused to go into the land of Israel. And it says, Vayivku ha'am balayla, the nation wept at the balayla hu, on that night. You read that in the Torah portion a couple of weeks ago. It's in Parsha Shlach. And the opening to the Eicha Rabba tells us that this was a Leil Shimurim. This was a day which was set aside by Hashem. And Hashem said, I will, you cried on this night. Amar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, atem b'chisem b'chiyah shel chinam. You cried for no reason. Ani kaveh lechem b'chiyah ledoros. I'll give you something which you will cry about for generations. And it's so interesting that the word Leil Shimurim in Torah literature only shows up twice. Once on the night of Tisha B'Av, but the more common and famous example is Leil Shimurim, is the way the Torah describes the night we leave Mitzrayim, and that's found, as we mentioned before, in Parshat Bo, in Exodus 12. It says, Leil Shimurim hu, this will be a guarded night for you. And it's observed as a guarded night. Many people don't lock their doors on the night of the Seder, and they live with a greater sense of reliance on Hashem, because Hashem is watching over us. So we have these two Leil Shimurims, and our hope and our prayer is that they'll match, and they'll be in perfect synchronicity rather than being polar opposites. And as the Rebbe said, that the crying and the tears, the weeping of Tisha B'Av, will be'ezrat Hashem be turned into dema'ot shel simcha, into tears of joy, into tears of happiness, and tears of pleasure that we will shed as we learn the deepest secrets of the Torah. And of course, we will experience peace. And of course, we will experience prosperity. And of course, we will experience eternal joy and happiness for all of Am Yisrael and for all good people around the world. And that's really, I think, the deeper message. That's what Tisha B'Av is about. That's why we mourn. We don't mourn in order to mourn. We don't love being sad. We are mourning our Beis HaMikdash so that we are mindful of what we are missing, so that we will yearn for its return. May it happen, b'mheira u'b'yameinu, speedily, and in our days. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Rabbi Kaplan.